From the big sky country of Montana and Glacier National Park, I'm outdoor lifestyle photographer and vice president of the Professional Outdoor Media Association, Tony Bynum. And you're listening to the outstanding Petapixel Photography Podcast with the remarkable Sharky James. Let's do this.
This episode is sponsored by our friends at FreshBooks. The weather is better, and if you're a freelance photographer or a small business owner, you'd much rather be out in it shooting rather than dealing with paperwork, right? And that's where the cloud-based accounting software from FreshBooks comes in. To sign up for your 30-day free trial, go to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Thank you, FreshBooks, for your support. Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 65. When photography-hating moms attack. In this episode, a group of photographers get accosted by moms in the UK. A pre-production Canon 1DX Mark II gets stolen. A new 18mm Zeiss lens drops. Three fools in Montreal document their illegal photography. The classic Trio Plan 50 is in the works. And the Impossible Project launches its first camera. All that and more in episode 65 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much, Tony, for opening the show. I greatly appreciate it, brother. Tony Bynum is a Montana-based adventure, conservation, wildlife, nature, and outdoor photographer, and his passion shows through in his incredible images. His photography has graced the covers and the pages of the likes of Field & Stream, Outdoor Life, National Geographic for Kids, Popular Photography, and countless others. Tony is a great guy, a fellow listener of this podcast, an amazing photographer, and I'd love it if you checked out his work over at tonybynum.com. That's TonyBynum.com. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 65 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you all for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. And as always, we appreciate you telling your friends on social media and elsewhere and helping to get the word out about this show. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. As we've talked about before here on the podcast, photography is not a crime. Well, most forms of photography. You know, there was a time when you can go out in public and shoot and no one would bother you. They might actually ask you what kind of camera you have, but they wouldn't accuse you of all kinds of crazy things. But now, aim your camera anywhere even remotely in the direction of a child, and people go straight to pedophile. They don't even for once consider that maybe you were taking a picture of something else, or it was completely innocent. Well, as unfortunate as it is for those who are harassed who actually are innocent, surely you'd think that taking photos in a group would be a lot safer, right? Yeah, no. Recently, a group of tourists from Greece were photographing one of those fountains where the water shoots out of the ground because, you know what? Not a lot of people have those where they're from, and it makes for really interesting photos. Totally makes sense. Well, everything was going well for these three men until they were confronted by angry moms who accused them of being pedophiles, detained them, took their phones, and called the police. According to the Telegraph, this bizarre scene happened in Southend, Essex, where the three Greek teachers photographed the popular landmark and found out the hard way that some people assume the worst in other people, project their fears onto them, and lose their minds by assuming they're there to photograph their children for some reason. One of these women even took to Facebook, where she posted claiming that she had, quote, smashed a pedophile ring, end quote. That is just amazing. I mean, what kind of self-importance does this person have, right? I mean, can you imagine being tagged with that when you were just out with your colleagues on vacation, seeing the sights and doing what everyone else does, taking photos because you want to show your friends and family back home, something that is completely normal and done millions of times each day? Well, that ridiculous post was shared over 13,000 times on Facebook, and who knows how many people have seen it now. Libel anyone? Hey, if you're going to accuse someone, it had better be factual or you are screwed legally, as you should be. In case you're wondering what happened, the police came and in short order determined that no crimes had been committed. They were just there taking photos like everyone else had been, and this woman and the other mothers completely overreacted. You see, in the UK, as is true here in the United States and many other places around the world, photographing children in public isn't illegal. I mean, what were these men to do? Ask the dozens of parents there to remove their children so they could take a photo of the fountain? I mean, that is completely ridiculous. I mean, what exactly do people think these guys are going to do with these photos? As I've said here before on the show, it's not those in plain view that you need to worry about, in my opinion. It's the creeps with hidden cameras that are shooting from quite a distance away with long lenses, or even those super zoom compact cameras that are out there that can shoot from a long, long distance away, and it looks like you were right there. Do these moms actually think that pedophiles organize and at their monthly meetings they decide to travel to the UK to photograph children? I mean, that is just absurd. This happens to photographers all the time around the world, even well-known photographers. And if this happens to you, I think it's wise to immediately suggest that the police are called, or even better, call them yourself. Things escalate quickly in these situations when people lose their minds and decide that you're guilty and just won't hear otherwise. So I would suggest calling the police before things get even more out of control. And we've heard so many bad stories in the past of photographers that were just out there innocently taking photos and really bad things happened. You know, these moms should be ashamed of themselves. Sure, you can understand their concerns, but this mob mentality needs to stop. These three teachers from Greece did nothing wrong, and taking to Facebook and labeling them as pedophiles, so not cool. Next. If you're a Sony user, you may be interested in a new Zeiss wide-angle lens which just dropped. And if you're going to drop a lens, that's the only way you want to do it, of course. With a new product announcement. Zeiss has just announced the widest full-frame fixed focal length lens for Sony E-mount, the Zeiss Batis 18mm f2.8. This now brings the Batis line up to three, with the other two being the 25mm f2 and the 85mm f1.8. This new 18, though, has a 99-degree field of view, 11 elements in 10 groups, and features Zeiss's awesome Distagon optical design. Of this lens, Zeiss product manager Dr. Michael Pullman says, quote, "With the expansion of the Zeiss Batis family of lenses, we are offering creative and discerning photographers yet another professional tool. With the Zeiss Batis 2.8/18, customers can now enjoy the super wide-angle full-frame lens they've been waiting for." End quote. Have they? Was anyone specifically waiting for this lens? That's what I'd like to know. I mean, I guess somebody was. Marketing speak, I tell you. Everyone thinks they've got the best lens. Everyone's been waiting for it. They're king of the hill. You know, they're trying to sell some lenses. We get it. As with those other two Batis lenses I mentioned, this one also features that cool OLED display on the lens. That's all about a minute, minute and a half of fun. And then you're never going to look at that thing again, I'm thinking. This lens is dust and weather sealed. And according to the company, features a, quote, "fast, quiet autofocus drive with linear motors," end quote. You know, everybody that I know that has these Batis lenses loves them. They're very, very high quality. And if you'd like to pick up a Zeiss Batis 18mm f2.8, you can pre-order one right now for $1,500 US. I know, that's a good chunk of change. But like I said, they're very high quality. Next. What's worse than getting robbed and losing all your gear? Not having insurance on it. Now, what's worse than that? Being trusted with a pre-production 1DX Mark II on loan from Canon and having that be stolen. Yeah. Ouch. According to the German site Canaran Express, photographer Radomir Jukubowski was shooting on the east coast of Tenerife in Spain's Canary Islands off the west coast of Africa when his car was broken into and some $34,000 US worth of gear was stolen. The photographer posted photos on his personal website showing the car's window smashed out, and I see where I believe he inadvertently drew unneeded attention to his car. What he did was back it up to what appears to be a concrete bench so that the tailgate physically couldn't be opened. Well, if you're a thief, that just screams break into me because something valuable is inside, right? I believe that if he hadn't done that, the thieves would have just passed on by. It would have just been another car in the parking lot, and it wouldn't have drawn any attention to itself. Now, I don't know why he thought this was a good idea. The car has several windows, of course, and that's how they got in and got his gear. After all these thieves had to do was smash out a window, and they're in under 20 seconds, they've got your gear, and they're out of there. Now, in my opinion, if you absolutely must leave your gear in your vehicle, Making it appear to be different than all the others in the parking lot or wherever you've got it makes it stand out, and that is a very, very bad idea. The goal is to make your car blend in with everything else. You don't want to be drawing any attention to your vehicle. Now, as I've said here on the show before, it might be wise to invest in a protective wire mesh like those available from PackSafe and others and secure that to the metal in your car somewhere. That's going to at least slow someone down, and they're not going to want to deal with that. So you put your gear inside that mesh, you secure it to your car, and over top that, put something that'll either blend in with the seats so it doesn't draw attention or is otherwise so uninteresting that no one's going to even give it a second look. I once knew a photojournalist who had his wife sew together a bunch of old but clean socks, pants, and t-shirts, and then he would throw that atop his camera bag. It was like a ghillie suit for his gear. This way, it just looked like he was on his way to go do some laundry, and no one's going to want to break in for that. And hey, if you've got a photography business and you have vinyl lettering all over your car, you're essentially advertising that you might just have expensive gear inside. Now, this photographer didn't do that. But if you do, you want to take extra precautions for sure, because I believe at some point, your vehicle is going to get broken into. After all, if no one is around, they have little to lose by busting out a window and poking around quickly. I mean, think about what the upside is to a thief. If you're advertising that you have a photography business, you probably have a professional camera, professional lenses, etc. Someone knows they're going to walk away with $5,000 to $10,000 at least worth of gear. Not good. So I think it's wise to secure your gear, and by all means, don't draw attention to your vehicle, or you may just lose it all. It also wouldn't be a bad idea at all to have insurance. Can you take a loss of $5,000 to $10,000 or more and survive that? A lot of people can't, so it's worth the $500 or $600 a year to make sure you have insurance. Now, for this photographer, he didn't have any insurance, and he's asking for donations so he can replace his gear. I don't know what he's going to do about Canon. Maybe they won't trust him with another pre-production model again. Just a thought. But having $34,000 US worth of gear in your car and losing that all and being a professional photographer, not at all good. It's going to take him a while to recover from that, or he's going to have to count on a lot of generous people contributing to him. Next. As we always say here on the podcast, thanks to the amazing technology available to us, sharing our photos is so easy. And so is running your business if you use FreshBooks. Whether you make your money with photography or you have another small business, you'd rather be shooting and editing your photos than dealing with paperwork, right? I know I would. Well, FreshBooks solves this problem by making it incredibly fast and easy. Their amazingly simple cloud-based invoicing solution keeps your cash flow details all in one place so you know exactly who you've invoiced, who's paid, who hasn't, and what your income is. And their FreshBooks mobile app is awesome. It lets you take pics of your receipt and organize them later so you have them all ready to go come tax time. Do yourself a favor and check out FreshBooks. You'll be more prepared, less stressed, and you can get back to enjoying your life and doing what you love most. Amazingly, on average, FreshBooks users get paid a full 2 weeks faster when accepting online payments. They cut 2 days a month of administrative tasks, and they double the revenue in the first 24 months. More time shooting means more time to make money rather than shuffling papers. And right now, FreshBooks is offering a free 30-day trial to our listeners. Just go to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Thank you so much, FreshBooks. Are you ready for the ultimate art lens? Are you? Well, Meyer Optic is celebrating its 100th year of existence by bringing back a classic, the TrioPlan F2.9 50mm lens. Now, you may recall that last year, the company brought back its TrioPlan 100mm F2.8 with that really cool soap bubble bokeh, and now the 50 has been resurrected. Earlier this year, the company started a Kickstarter campaign for the TrioPlan 50, and while seeking just $50,000 US to make it happen, as of this recording, they've received over five times that, and they still have more than a month to go left in this campaign. Now, like the 100 and the other Trio plans, this lens features that soap bubble bokeh effect, like I said, and the Meyer Optic Company is calling this, quote, the ultimate art lens, end quote. So what they've done with this 50 is pretty cool, I think. They didn't just simply recreate the original design. That would have been too easy, right? They brought it into modern times by including an all-new front-focus close-up element That'll give you a 1-4 magnification ratio. So if you're into macro photography, you might really enjoy that. Now, with the addition of the technological updates to this lens, it's what the company is calling, quote, the ultimate creativity tool for all kinds of environments, end quote. They turned professional photographers loose with this lens, and celebrity photographer Guido Carp says of this lens, quote, I am always looking for tools that offer me visual options. So I jumped on the opportunity to capture this incredible bokeh in my images using a not-so-usual lens. I would never have thought of using a 50mm lens to shoot a portrait, but I am now so glad I tried. And now, using the TrioPlan 50 as one of my prime lenses, end quote. If you want one of these cool lenses, check out their Kickstarter campaign. You'll find the link for that over in our show notes for episode 65 at petapixel.com/podcast. If you get in on this before the end of the campaign, you can get the early bird price of $550 US, and that's $50 off what it'll cost once they're in production. And remember, as always, Kickstarter is not a store. There's always a risk that the item won't materialize and you'll be out the money, so keep that in mind, please. However, they had great success with that 100mm TrioPlan, so I think the 50 is going to materialize. And according to the company, they should start shipping them sometime in January of 2017. Next. By now, you're likely familiar with the Impossible Project. When Polaroid went under and their instant film went with it, the Impossible Project stepped in and produced film once again for Polaroid instant cameras. Well, now the company is doing something a little bit different. In addition to the instant film that they've been making for years now, they're going to be making their very first instant camera, the Impossible Project I-1. I think they need to work on that name, though. And they're referring to it as, quote, the original camera reinvented, end quote. And I've got to admit, it is pretty darn cool. But maybe that's because I grew up with Polaroid cameras. I don't know. This new camera uses the Impossible Project's Type 600 film, which they reverse engineered from the old Polaroid 600 film of the past. And they've also added tech to this new camera that makes it really interesting. For one, it has what they're calling an advanced ring flash, which automatically adjusts based on the ambient light available and the distance to the subject. The battery is able to be recharged via a USB cable, and thanks to an app, users can pair their smart devices to the camera via Bluetooth and have control over aperture, shutter speed, and flash settings. That's pretty awesome. Even better, this app also has what they're calling creative tools, so that you can do things like double exposures, light painting via long exposures, and of course, you can trigger the camera remotely as well. Who didn't see that last part coming, right? I mean, that was obvious. Of course, you'd be able to trigger it with the app. If, like me, you think this camera sounds like fun and you want to get your hands on one, the company says that they're going to be available May 10th, 2016 for $300 US. Now, that's a good chunk of change, of course, but personally, I think they're going to sell a ton of these. It's just too bad this couldn't have been available this past holiday season, because as you may recall, the number one selling product in Amazon.com's photography category was Fuji's popular Instax line of cameras and film. Those cameras, however, are quite a bit cheaper, but they also don't have anywhere near the features of this new camera from the Impossible Project. I might have to check these out myself. You know, I had Polaroid cameras growing up, and I think that this would be a lot of fun. Next. What always kills me is when people document their crimes, then post them online for the world to see. I mean, how stupid are they, right? You know you're breaking the law, and yet you bring gear to memorialize your crime, and you put it out there. Amazing. Well, according to the CBC, three Canadian men, ages 22, 28, and 53, were arrested after investigators tracked them down thanks to a video they posted online entitled Lowest Point in Montreal. You know, that 53-year-old should have known better, right? I mean, by the time you're that age, you're well aware of what's likely to go horribly, horribly wrong. So who knows what's up with him? In the video, the men are seen heading down a manhole and emerging in Montreal's metro transit system, where they proceed to do the very original steel wool photography on the tracks. I hope you can sense my sarcasm here. Everyone seems to do it. And then they walk through several areas which are off limits to the public, all the while recording this and making sure that everyone is going to see what they've done. And they couldn't be oblivious to this being illegal. I mean, there are signs posted everywhere, of course. Well, as a result of this nonsense, the men face breaking and entering, public mischief, and possession of burglary tools charges. That's wonderful, huh? And for what? So they can take photos, create a video, and presumably get some attention? Well, they're getting it now. Just not the kind they hoped for. How did they not think that it would end this way? I mean, between the three of them, not one of them said, oh, hey, maybe we shouldn't do this. We're going to get caught. Anyone stupid enough to do something so obviously illegal doesn't ever think they're going to get caught, I'm thinking. It just amazes me the sense of entitlement people have. They justify breaking the law, perhaps putting others in danger, costing people money, etc., because they just must have those photos and shoot the accompanying video with it. Why have laws and such if you're going to break them? I bet they don't follow the rule of thirds either. Horrible people. I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 65 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question that we can answer here on the show. Or if you don't feel comfortable leaving a voicemail, feel free to email me at lensshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, and I hope you do, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook where I'm Lensshark. That's LENSSHARK. Also, I was able to get out and shoot this past Thursday, even though the weather was really sketchy. It was raining. It was hailing there for a while. But I got to shoot a boys' baseball game here at a local high school, as well as lacrosse, something I haven't shot in a long time, lacrosse. That's actually a lot of fun. Baseball games can be really boring to shoot sometimes. It just drags on and on and on. But lacrosse was really cool. So I finally got out to shoot. I'm feeling really good about that. And I've done a lot of it here at the house. I've done quite a bit of portraiture lately. But being able to get outside and enjoy the weather and push some frames was really, really good, I must say. And don't forget to claim your 30-day free trial from FreshBooks at freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter Petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section. If you really enjoy this show and you want to help support it, go ahead and check that out. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 66. Well, it's F8 and 250 of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.